Hello and welcome to the On Call Room,
a Grey's Anatomy podcast.
I'm Abby.
I'm Bree.
And it's a beautiful day to podcast. If this is your first time listening, we are a podcast that deep dives every single episode of Grey's Anatomy. We are currently in season 15, episode 4, 5, and 6. This is also a spoilers podcast, so if you've not yet watched the entirety of Grey's Anatomy, we recommend you do so before listening or just be prepared to have some spoilers. What else?
If you want to support the podcast, you can do so by joining Patreon. It's in the show notes, or you can go to www.patreon.com/theoncallroom. There we have 3 different levels. You can be an intern, a resident, or an attending. And at each of those different levels, you get different bonus features. You get weekly bonus episodes. Weekly?
No, you don't get weekly bonus. You barely get monthly bonus episodes.
Zoom hangouts. We have a Facebook group. You have to be a $2 patron to join that. But with the new season starting in
a
couple
of
weeks.
There's a lot of
chatter. A lot of chatter going on there. So, and if you are looking for a really special community, there are some great Grays BBs there. And then finally, one other thing you get is post-op. When we call time of death at the end of the episode, $10 patrons get additional bonus content. This week, we are going to be discussing the holograms in the 3rd episode, Flowers Grow Out of My Grave. So they might be mentioned.
Also, by holograms, we mean the dead people that show up.
The dead people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like Derek and Mark. They might show up in discussion briefly, but we're not going to tell you how we feel about it.
Yes.
Unless you're a $10 patron.
Yeah, that's right. You got to go behind the paywall.
Yes, you do.
I also had a thought when we were saying, and it's a beautiful day to podcast. Mm. It'd be funny if we learned how to harmonize that.
Should we try it on
air? No, not on air. Like, we need to rehearse.
It's a beautiful day to pod.
I'm going to have to be the low, normal one. I don't know how to do that, but I would like to.
Okay, we can try it sometime.
I think that'd be fun.
Yeah.
I guess that was really my only thought.
Also, leave a review.
Yeah, on iTunes or Spotify, all you have to do is literally hit a star. Please give us 5.
literally just hit 1 star.
Yeah, no. iTunes, you can, on Apple Podcasts, you can write something. We love reading them.
We do.
They're very fun. They are like little love letters. So if you don't have a love letter to write, write it in a notebook and burn it. Don't give it to us.
Words of affirmation are one of my love languages, so don't fuck me over on that one. Mm-hmm. Don't say negative things to me. I don't want to hear it.
Yeah, no, just turn us off. Listen to something else.
Yes. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I warmed up some corn chowder before coming here.
Delightful.
It's rainy and cold.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I just worked. I have nothing exciting to report today.
I did. So John, we had a bachelorette party this weekend. Abby got super fucked up. She got so fucked up. She's so drunk.
Mom, I wasn't.
She was just really hungover. But yeah. She can't hang anymore.
I was somehow not drunk, but yet the most hungover.
The most hungover. But while we were on our little getaway, John texted me that he came down with an illness. He was really sick. Tested for COVID like 3 times. He didn't have COVID. I think he had influenza. Anyway, the point is I came home to a very sick husband and a very sick house.
That's the worst.
Yeah. So I was kind of great. I was sad I wasn't here to take care of him, but I was also grateful I was not here to.
Yeah.
But anyway, he finally went to work today and I've been sleeping in the guest room and I got my schoolwork done this morning. So I did a deep clean of the house. Like,
it feels so good.
Like, I was vacuuming walls.
Oh, yeah.
I did like magic eraser on like the kitchen cabinets. Like, one of those deep cleans.
Did you have a good podcast to listen to?
Oh, yeah. I listened to the new Flightless Bird about pornography.
Oh, was it good?
Yeah, it was interesting. And then I listened to the newest Armchair Expert.
Oh, I haven't listened to that one yet either. I didn't know who she was.
And then I also, I really want to read her book. I knew she's the one who I.
Oh, wait, what's the book called?
It's like something about mom. Yeah, I'm happy my mom is dead.
Oh, okay. I'm very excited. Okay, then I do need to listen to that.
Or I think that's what it's called. And then I listened to this podcast called
Well, you did deep clean.
Oh yeah, I had so many. This is actually happening.
Okay.
And it's like a monologue of like really weird, either really weird, odd things or like really sad stories that people tell. And it's just like it's like an hour of a person telling this like often horrific story. So I was listening to that as well. But you know how like sometimes you clean and then you're like, that's good enough. Like
yeah.
That was not today. It was like,
I had to keep going.
Yeah. Like, okay, this is a question for you. When you clean your duvet cover, do you wash your comforter every time?
No, I wash the comforter not as often as I should, but every couple of months because it has to dry like 4 times.
Yes. Okay. So similar. So I do the duvet.
Is yours down alternative?
Yeah.
Okay. So is mine.
Yeah. So, okay. Another question. How often do you wash your sheets?
I wish it was every week. I bet it's about 2 on average.
Okay. But do you do the duvet every time or just the sheets and then the duvets?
I do the duvet every other. Well, no, actually, I think every because I have like 3 different sets of sheets. So when I take one off to wash, I just put a different one on. So I have different duvet covers.
Oh, you have different duvet covers.
It also depends if Jake is home. If he's home, I'll make him help me do it because otherwise I'm sweating.
Such a pain in the ass.
And we have like a platform bed, so it's really low to the ground. And mm-hmm. I feel like that's going to break my back someday in making the bed because you're like crunched over.
Yeah.
It was a horrible. I mean, it looks cool.
Yeah. Okay.
So to answer your question, not as much as I should, probably every other time. But yeah.
Okay. So we do sheets every week, but I
gotta get on that schedule.
I don't do duvet every week.
Right.
And so, but today.
Does your cat sleep on your bed sometimes?
Sometimes, but she mostly sleeps on my pillowcase.
Okay.
So like, and she sleeps in the other guest room.
Right.
So anyway, and I know McCoy does. So like you got a lot of dog hair, whatever. But I did like all the bedding. Like I did comforter.
Wow.
I did duvet. I soaked the duvet in like OxyClean for an hour in the washer. Like
you're not getting the flu.
No, I was like, I am literally stripping this whole house down to, I destroyed that. I just I knocked the house down. That's what I did today.
Well, I want to know more cleaning questions. Like, okay. How often do you vacuum? Floors, just like floors.
Floors.
And I'm not judging.
No, definitely once a week, sometimes more.
Okay, same. I'm lucky if it's once. But like when I do it, that also means I have to use the hose in like the corners.
Yes.
And I think that my partner doesn't. I don't know if he knows how to work the hose in the corners.
See, I have to say that John's actually better at that than I am. He like when we tag team cleaning the house, he's on vacuum duty because he's way better at getting in all the corners. Like I'll do it, but like on a like quick friends are coming over. I'm just going to like,
yeah.
I just quickly vacuum that to me, the like hose thing in the corners, unless it's the kitchen. I always use it in the kitchen, in the bathrooms, but like in the main areas is probably like every other.
So I just realized you have to lug a vacuum upstairs.
Oh yeah. It's awful.
Someday you'll have an upstairs vacuum.
Oh, for sure. But like, okay, what about, are you an every week bathroom cleaner?
No. Well, okay. For about the last 3 years, I had a cleaning lady and she came every 2 or every 3 weeks.
So I did
wiping things down, but I didn't clean the bathroom because she would do that. She has been, we didn't have a bathroom, but now we do again. And she's been gone for some other reasons. And so I have to start coming up with a schedule.
Yeah.
Right now I keep in my shower, like the spray and this like scrubby thing.
Mm-hmm.
So what I try to do is when I'm done showering, I spray and like we have like a hose and like wipe off all the like things when I'm in the shower.
Wow.
Because otherwise it just happens too fast. The sink, don't ever get a square flat sink like we have because water, like when you brush your teeth, it doesn't like run down like a bowl. So the sink gets dirty fast.
Yeah. Okay.
I didn't answer your question. This is probably the most fucking boring content.
No, I just, whatever. Maybe it's not. We have some people out there who really, maybe people are cleaning now and they're like, oh my God, I didn't even think to vacuum my walls today and I'm going to.
I love cleaning. Like I used to love cleaning Instagrams and like now there's some TikToks, but they also stress me out because I'll be laying in bed watching them and being like, I should be doing that. But instead I'm watching it.
Yeah.
But I did see, like, I just saved one the other day that had this tool that I want to get for cleaning your shower that makes it way easier than, like, just a sponge. It's kind of like a mini mop on a stick. and you can, so that you don't have to like get down. Like you can, anyways, I want to get it.
Well, if
I think
you,
it's like a tile cleaner.
If you get it, I'll and share you like it, you. Share it with me.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So anyway, that's what I did today. And then, but then, you know, when you start deep cleaning, you can't get to everything. And then you just start seeing everything. And I'm like, this house is disgusting. Like I can't, and with old homes, I feel like it's really hard. I sometimes feel like my house is never clean. This is old.
Right. It's like the paint is always chipped.
And you're like, why does it look like this?
And I know. I noticed today because they, like we lived in our house 7 years and I noticed like on the top of our bedroom door and like in by the hinges, it's like a lot of dust.
Yeah.
And I was like, what the fuck? How am I supposed to do that every time? And then also I was like, I don't remember when we moved in it being that way. So like, did the people there do it? Or is it just because we've lived here so long? I don't know.
I think it's because like you live.
Yeah.
I would live in your, and then you shed your skin and it gets in the dust.
I'm feeling that way about like our furniture too, which is why we ordered new stuff, but it won't be here for like 1,000 weeks. Like, I feel like, oh, we've had this for 7 years. Like furniture doesn't, I've never not moved. Like I think the longest before that I lived in a house was like 4.
Yeah.
So this is like the longest I've lived in one place my whole life. Cause my parents never lived in a place for longer than that. Isn't that weird?
That is really weird.
Yeah.
Cause so I think about it. I grew up in
I never saw
one
a house getting old or not old. Like the house was old, but like, I never saw like things
get, accumulate and like things get weird and
shit
gross.
Shit is accumulated in my house.
Yeah. Imagine leaving someday.
Like I can't.
We've been here like, well, I don't know, 2 years. And I'm like, we could never leave. Like our garage has 7,000 things in it. Our basement is piled with shit. I'm like, what? How? I was like, where did all this come from? Well, once you buy a home, you have to buy tools. You have to have things.
I know. Like, imagine if you had to go live in your little tiny, one of your little apartments.
I couldn't. Like, there's no way that I could do
that. Your plants couldn't even fit.
No. But that's the thing is you get a home and you got to fill the space.
You
got to
fill it. I know.
And we filled it with a lot of plants and a lot of tools.
Oh, I keep meaning to give you my snake plants.
Oh, yeah. To bring them back to life, or you're just giving them to me?
I mean, I just, it's more of like a foster to adopt. Because I just, they're not thriving at my house, nor with me. They're also not dying. It'd be easier on me if they just died, because then I'd get rid of them. But they're alive. They're just fucking petrified.
Yeah.
They've not grown. And I have changed their soil before.
And you water
them? And I water
You feed them?
I don't feed them. Plants in the wild get fed?
Plants need food. Yeah, probably with like decomposing stuff around it and stuff.
Bugs and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. My dahlias are popping off right now though. I was going to go cut some for you, but it was raining.
It was raining.
There's like 13 or 15 blooms. They're huge.
Wow.
Yeah, they're really going.
That's insane. We have one.
The only bad thing was I cut some off and they're in my kitchen now. But when I did that and I brought the blooms inside, when I went to pour water on them to like put them in a jar, 3 earwigs came out.
Oh, gross.
And I was like, fuck no.
Why I hate bringing flowers in from outside.
I know. So now I'm like, okay, so I need to cut them and then shake them like shit outside. But then what if an earwig flies on me?
Well, speaking of things like this.
I hate earwigs.
I took all the stuff downstairs. I was like going to put my duvet. I was like, it had a little stain spot. So I was spraying Oxy. It was like half in.
Yeah.
So like it was laying on the ground too, which I know it's kind of gross. It was in the basement, but I'm like, I'm about to wash it, whatever. And I look down, there's a fucking spider on it. Well, then my mind starts reeling, like, was the spider in the bed or was the spider in the basement? And then I was like, well, I haven't slept in the bed in 2 nights anyway, so it doesn't matter. I wasn't sleeping with the spider, but was the spider living in the bed? And then I was like, fuck, how do I kill it? Because I don't want to smash a spider on my duvet cover.
Mm, yeah.
So I kind of like gently killed it-ish and like it fell to the ground and then I smashed it.
Yeah.
Get out of here.
So anyways,
sorry, people who like spiders, but I don't care for them.
I know. I saw someone post a thing about like how you should get a wolf spider and bring it outside and like save it.
The fuck?
I was just like, no.
No.
Thank God there's not ever been a wolf spider in my house. They are all over the outside this time of year.
And I don't know if I've ever.
Yes, you have. They're the ones that make those funnels.
Those are the wolf spiders?
I'm pretty sure. They're huge. If you ever.
I've seen them.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure those are wolf spiders.
I think they're a different type of spider. I think wolf spiders.
Well, Dave or whatever Rose Pest guy's name is, he told me those were probably wolf spiders. I know. They're not poisonous, are they? We should not be telling. We don't know anything about
I don't know,
this.
But my sister
what
got bit by a spider once. I don't think it was a wolf spider.
Either way, they've not yet infiltrated the home. They've only
been recluse. That's what it was.
Oh yeah, those are the poisonous ones. Yeah, those are bad. Yeah.
Anyway,
okay.
We went down. Well, one of the episodes is about Halloween, so we went a little spooky on y'all for a moment. Thanks for listening to our cleaning stories. Write in and tell us your cleaning preferences.
Yeah, if you have any tips.
Yeah. Share. Or I would love to hear how often people clean their sheets. Some people don't ever.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, if that's you listening, go fucking wash your sheets.
Jake would, in college, so whatever, boys in college are disgusting.
And
Jake
probably had semen all over it.
Jake would only, I think he admitted to me once that like he'd always wash his duvet cover and sheets right before I visited. So
well,
like,
at least he did that.
Right. But like, if I didn't visit, we were long distance. Like, we didn't go to the same school. I wasn't there all the time. But yeah, so, which I was like, okay, thanks.
But also.
Also, if you dated a straight boy in college and their sheets were not navy or brown, then you found a unicorn. Because I feel like all college boys' sheets are like navy and brown.
Yeah, because their mom buy them. And moms buy them for them. And they're like, what is something that will hide dirt? Because I know my disgusting son is never going to wash stuff.
Yeah, I think about like
John, when I started dating him, but yeah. He wasn't a college boy anymore.
He had a denim wall.
No, but he had white sheets. Mm. But his reasoning behind it was you could bleach them.
That's good.
Yeah. So he would always bleach his sheets.
Okay, well, that's good.
Yeah. And then he had white everything. White towels, just pouring bleach and things.
He also had a denim wall.
Oh my God. Don't go there. He would still have it if I allowed him to.
I know. Jake would probably still have the same sheets from college.
He would have a twin size bed, extra long sheets.
Oh no, he had a queen size bed.
Oh, I was thinking you were visiting him in the dorms.
The dorms. Well, what even was his dorm? Oh, he was on a top bunk.
Did
so
you
we slept
sleep
on a futon.
On a futon. Sure.
As one
super
does.
Super comfortable. Super comfortable.
Not with him, Mom.
No.
All right. Anyways.
Okay. So should we get into it?
Yes. This is season 15, episode 4, 5, and 6. Mama Knows Best, Everyday Angel, and Flowers Grow Out of My Grave. I will read the first one. When I was little, I once asked my mother, how do you tell people such bad news? You tell them the truth, she said, but you tell them the best version of the truth you can come up with. My mother also never told me I had a little sister, so grain of salt. My mother said, tell the truth. Just tell the best version of the truth you can, because the truth is going to come out sometime. And the one thing you can't do with the truth is hide from it, because the truth is going to come looking until it finds you. Meredith Grey.
Every day, we're surrounded by people who ask how we're doing. But when surgeons ask how you're doing, we generally care about your answer. Your answer to how are you doing tells us how good a job we're doing at taking care of you. Unfortunately, caretaking outside of medicine is usually more complicated. Surgeons are trained to provide care for others. Some biologists believe that it's human nature to help. Scientists believe we're biologically programmed to empathize. I think it's one of the reasons our species has lasted this long. We have an innate instinct to support each other. You can only take care of yourself for so long, because let's face it, some problems are way too big to carry on your own. Meredith Grey.
The poet Octavio Paz once wrote, "The Mexican is familiar with death, jokes about it, caresses it, sleeps with it, celebrates it." I can relate, but in a hospital, death isn't celebrated. It's avoided at all costs. And when it comes, it's clinical, almost routine. But that was breeze sink, if you guys heard that. But still, with all that practice, even surgeons are surprised by death, especially when it happens to the ones we love. Every religion, every country, every culture, death means something different to all of us. We all have different ideas about how to honor the dead, different ideas of how to grieve, different ways of moving on. Well, I may not be an expert, but I do have some experience with losing people I love. And I say the right way to grieve is however the hell you want. Meredith Grey.
Then we have shotgun workup, Natalie Forrester, pulmonary edema, pleural effusion, and ventricular septal rupture.
Julius Guerra, smoke inhalation, pulmonary bleb.
Blip. Cece Colvin, secondary renal failure.
Rafi Elshami, scapular Ewing sarcoma.
Nina Sullivan, median arcuate ligament syndrome.
Molly Graham, asthma.
Roberta Gibbs, Wilson's disease.
Flor Medina, cholecystocyte cyst.
J.J. Williams, humerus fracture, osteosarcoma.
And Ned Billings, cardiac death.
All right, so for rounds.
Buckle up, everyone.
Meredith decides to go on a date for the first time, and everyone in the hospital is noticing that she has makeup on and new clothes. She meets up with a guy named John, and they both quickly realize that they are actually on a date with the wrong person, and their correct dates are laughing together at the bar. They both craft texts letting their correct date know they won't be showing up, and they continue the date together. Everything is going really well. They are getting along. They are both having fun until John says that he thinks children are a burden and that single mothers are desperate. Meredith tells him that she has three children, and because he said the one thing, she nicely ends the date. Andy Herrera is at the hospital, and she tells Meredith that maybe it was actually a good date because she dodged a slow-moving bullet and that the truth would have come out eventually. Better it happened right away. As Meredith continues to date men that Cece sets her up with, she also begins to get slightly interested in Andrew DeLuca and Atticus Lincoln. Link even goes so far as to put his number into her phone, even when she says that he is not her type. The two men offer to open the elevator door for her, and after she notices what's happening, she ends up taking the stairs.
Alex is still chief, and he gets a patient named Julius who has a pulmonary bleb that needs to be removed. However, because it's a pre-existing condition, his insurance won't cover it, and he refuses to go into surgery or have Alex call his mom. Because he's 18, they can't force him to do anything, and before he leaves the hospital, which would be going against doctor's orders, is this true? Alex stabs him?
Yeah.
Okay, I like blinked. Okay, Alex stabs him in the back and pretends it's a new injury that they missed. He uses this as an excuse to go into surgery and fix whatever they find inside. They're able to fix the bleb and get away without him having to pay insurance. While Alex is busy being chief, he also has to try and stop Bailey and Joe, who decide to bring a liver back to life from a previously dead body and use it on someone who needs a liver transplant. He says they need to stop the surgery, but they go through with it anyway, saving the woman's life. Joe's afraid that he's going to be mad at her, but instead he is very turned on by her medical genius.
Amelia is having a hard time with Betty because she believes that she's lying about coming home high. They are calling each other names and slamming doors, and Amelia yells at Owen for not having her back. Amelia takes her to the hospital to have a tox screen test and ends up talking to Owen's mom about being a parent. Owen's mom says that a parent's job is to help their kids build a strong metaphorical boat so that when they ultimately sail away from their parents, they have the ability to sail back home again if they need to. Betty ends up admitting to Amelia that she smoked some weed, and Amelia grounds her for the month. Amelia and Owen follow Betty around at school, and she ends up telling Owen about her son, Christopher. She says that for the first time in her life, she can talk about him, say his name, and she doesn't feel like it will break her heart. She knows that Betty and Leo can't erase his memory. Amelia comes back to Meredith's house and grabs more things because she says she will be at Owen's a little bit longer than she had planned.
Maggie can't sleep because of her knowledge about Teddy's pregnancy, and she ends up breaking HIPAA by telling Meredith about the baby. She's inspired to do so after a woman named Natalie comes into the ER who is going to die of a heart attack, and the husband refuses to tell their son because he is scared. DeLuca accidentally tells this kid that his dad is lying and his mom is going to die, and he ends up losing the kid. Do we ever find out what happens? We'll talk about that.
Yeah. So then we have Meredith finds Teddy and brings her to her house to talk about the fact that she should tell Owen and Amelia that she is pregnant. Teddy says that she doesn't want to because she hates Owen. We learn about Teddy's favorite person, Allison, who was her best friend. Allison died in the second tower on 9/11, and it's because of her death that Teddy went to Iraq where she met Owen. She says that she played it safe with Owen because she didn't want to lose anyone ever again. She is afraid of Owen finding out about the baby because she doesn't want Teddy to be with Owen out of obligation. Teddy comes back to Owen's house with the full intention of telling him about the baby, but they instead get sidetracked when Betty goes missing. Teddy offers to help, and the three of them spend the day looking for Betty. They never do end up finding her. And Owen takes Amelia to a meeting, and Teddy keeps the secret to herself.
Joe runs into Link at the end of her workday, and we find out that they go all the way back to undergrad. They never dated, but they waited tables together, and they were like siblings. He ends up working with Alex all day, and it's very clear that Alex is annoyed by him. Alex asks Link about Paul and if he knew about him. Link tells him that if he had known what Paul was doing, he would have stopped it. Alex ends up admitting to Joe that he seems like a good guy. Later in the episodes, Link comes over to Joe and Alex's house so that Joe can fix his hair after he cuts it to make a cancer patient feel better. Meredith also comes over after she has had a rough day, and she ends up helping Link with his hair as Joe leans back into the couch and tells Alex that they look good together.
Jackson is back from a spiritual adventure.
With the trees.
With the trees. And he's brought a little boy with him who Jackson met while camping, who is going to do a pro bono surgery on. At first, Jackson and Alex were disappointed to find out that the surgery they were hoping to do, they couldn't do because the boy had a malignant tumor. Then while talking to Maggie, Jackson gets the idea to perform radiation on the scapula while they are outside of the body and then put them back in. They end up saving the boy's life and his quality of life. He promises Maggie that he won't leave again and that he feels best and most connected when he is close to the hospital where he can help people.
Nico invites Levi out to the bar for a beer and Helm says that it's a date. When Levi gets there, it's not actually a date, but rather a weird gathering of Richard DeLuca and Link playing guitar together. The next day, Levi is on an ortho rotation for the first time, and Nico says that he will help him because he is nervous. At the end of the workday, they are in the elevator together, and Nico kisses Levi. Levi admits that it's his first time that he's kissed a boy, but that he would like to learn more. Nico says that he has already come out of the closet and that he can't do it again. He says that Levi is usually his type, but that he can't teach him this. Oof, first notes.
Mine is Maggie couldn't sleep and Jackson sent her a picture of a tree.
I just said I like very much understand Maggie's Maggie's challenge here. Like having that knowledge, like I get HIPAA, trust me. I'm also not a doctor, but like knowing that about Teddy would also make me not be able to sleep.
Okay, so.
While my sister is like planning her future.
That is such a great note. I literally have a note in mine that I watched this whole episode. It wasn't until the end. I have a huge note that says, oh, I forgot that Maggie knew about Teddy.
Oh.
I was so confused why Maggie cared so much. I was like, wow, she really doesn't want Amelia to be with Owen.
Oh.
And then it all finally made sense at the end. I think it's because there was a lot of time in between watching the episodes. But I was like, why does Maggie care so much?
Can you imagine knowing that, though? Like, me planning my life with Jake, and you know that there's another woman that Jake's gonna have a baby with.
No, that would be awful.
I think it's, like, different than if it was just another patient she knows about, but it's, like, because it's her sister.
Yes.
It's
just 100%.
So confusing. I'm glad that they kind of brushed over, although obviously it's like so wrong. Like Teddy is like, oh, Maggie broke HIPAA, there goes her career, but isn't ultimately going to do anything about it.
Right.
Because that would just be too much for me to deal with. But I'm glad that it's like, I think Teddy gets it. I don't know.
Well, and do we just want to maybe go into that? I think like Meredith was the right person to tell too, because Meredith also knows Teddy.
Yes.
Like, and I forget that was Maggie hired to replace Christina?
Yes. Teddy was already gone.
Teddy was already gone?
Yes.
Okay.
So anyway, they'd never met until she got.
Okay.
Because she didn't know she was Meredith's sister.
Yes. Yes, 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 yes.
Okay. I feel like I loved that part when Mare is texting Teddy. At first I was like, is Mare in Germany? And then I realized Teddy didn't leave. But I loved for two things. Like I loved the mention of like, you used to make Christina get you coffee here all the time. And that Mare's like, you wouldn't be stupid enough to leave. Like,
yes.
Like you're a doctor. And so I just thought that part when she was like, do you want to have a date? And she's like, sorry, time change. And she's like, the swings are the slides. I thought that was funny.
Yeah. And so then she ends up going back to Meredith's house. Meredith has to make cookies. Teddy can't even look at Owen because she hates him. But then later on, she ends up saying she loves Owen. She's like, you know.
It's interesting. I didn't realize we get mentions of Allison so soon. Because I don't know if that's in this season. It might be.
I think it's next season.
Okay, when we get the whole like backstory of that. But like, I remember feeling like that backstory episode like came out of nowhere, but I'm like, okay, maybe I just didn't remember this conversation. Like it's hinted at already that her person who she loved the most, she doesn't necessarily say romantically.
Right.
But she does say that she like loved, and then that her reason for not starting a relationship with Owen was because she couldn't handle if it, like, because Owen had a fiance.
Yes.
Like she couldn't handle someone leaving her again, so she played it safe. I feel like that is like a missing piece that I needed. Not that I still understand all of their relationship, but that makes things make sense a little bit more to me.
Yes. 100%. I don't really have anything else to say. I thought the one scene was really funny where like Teddy's like going on her like rant about Owen and then she to Meredith. And then she's like, and what are you doing with those eggs? I thought it was really funny. And so Teddy helps make the cookies and it was like, holy seconds. Shit, Teddy walks out the door and then Amelia comes in the back door.
And Amelia's coming to grab more things.
To grab more things, which we'll talk about. But do you want to just talk about Teddy and Owen talking to each other?
Yeah, like...
I felt like they were both, like, really kind. Like, I was happy that Owen was very kind to her and was like, I should apologize. Right. Like, she was like, no, I should apologize.
He admits that he was embarrassed when he saw her, like, his first reaction.
Yes. But then the whole Betty thing happens. But when, like, the last conversation that they have together, like, breaks my heart that he's like, you know, now I have Leo and we have Betty and like Amelia and who knew? And Teddy asks like, Owen, are you happy? We don't get an answer because Leo starts fussing, but it's enough, I think, for Teddy to be like, I don't want him to be with me because I'm pregnant.
Yeah. Which like, I love that she said that to Meredith too, like, because he would, like, yeah, out of obligation, it's his child. He absolutely would. I think what's confusing is hard is like, yeah, I would agree with, want to be like Teddy, where I don't want someone to be with me because of that. Mm-hmm. Like that would be so hard. But Meredith is making this point that it's not for you. It's for your kid.
Yeah.
Like to have, so it's like, obviously, we know she ends up telling Owen, but I feel like in her head right now, her options are like, I go back to Germany and I raise this kid by myself, but then my kid doesn't have a dad.
Yeah.
There's just so many. Also, it's like, it's not like their relationship's going to end. There's no way around it.
I don't remember how this plays out. I feel like Teddy ends up telling him and is like, this doesn't mean you have to be with me. Like,
yeah, I feel like she waits too long. Like, I feel like there's something.
Yeah, I cannot remember. I wanted to keep watching because I was like, when does she tell him?
Yeah, I know. And also, like, it's also hard because, like, Owen is proving her point when she sent him away from Germany. Like, you are still in love with Amelia. Like,
yes.
It's just, I think if she'd come back and Owen was single, it'd be a no-brainer.
Right.
I don't know.
But he is not, he's not just with Amelia. He has, like, started this whole life.
Right.
Which I think we can kind of talk about, like, they are very much acting like married and parents.
Yes.
Like, you didn't have my back in there. Like, originally when this plan went down, it was like, I got Betty. Betty's my thing. And like,
Leo's
you got
yours.
Leo. But like, with Betty and Amelia at each other's throats, like, she's leaning on Owen now. Like, you
like,
have
go
to
watch her while I go do this.
Yeah. And like, you didn't like, I just think about like arguments that I had with like my mom growing up and her getting mad at my dad if he like didn't. You know, like, you're supposed to be a team or whatever. Right. Like, that's what they're doing.
Which they did, like, close a little, not a loophole, but, like, you know, we were wondering, like, how is Amelia so chill with this? Like, she didn't want kids, whatever. And she kind of gives that speech to him where, like, maybe this, like, act of sort of having kids, even though they're not really hers, has, like, healed something in her where, like, she can talk about Christopher and not feel like it's going to break her.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's like this, like allowing her to move on to this next step. But I don't know. Also, I get confused. Like the way she's treating Betty feels like more than a sponsor. It feels like a child.
It feels like a mom.
Right. Which I'm like, she has parents.
Right.
Like, yeah.
And I think ultimately that's why maybe Betty ends up leaving. Like, because I think it's, yeah, it's a little more complicated than like a sponsor.
Maybe because she's under 18 or she's young, you know?
Yeah.
But it was also like, and I get, she's not wrong. Like Amelia, you know, her life was so extreme that she's obviously like assuming the worst with Betty. You know, like if my parents hadn't called the police, I would be dead. Like,
right.
Which is like such a difference because Owen's like, it's fine, teenagers. And she's like, no, it's not. I did like thought it was so dumb that they were like following her around school or whatever. But I did like when Owen like gets out of the car, snaps his fingers. Yeah. And like, I was like, what are you doing? Like what? Yeah. I can't remember if Betty is getting high somewhere.
I can't remember either. I know that her parents come in at some point.
Yes.
There was one other thing I wanted to say about Owen. Oh, and Amelia, isn't Christopher Derek's middle name? Derek Christopher Shepherd?
I think so. I'll look it up. I bet you're right.
Because, and she says, like, that's the first time I've told anyone his name. That's the first time I've even said it out loud myself.
Oh, like we never knew it? No, we knew it in private practice.
Did we?
Oh, it is Christopher.
Did we know it in private practice? Because she said that's the first time I even said it out loud.
Oh. Children, Christopher Shepherd. I'm going to... Wait, when did Amelia... Turns out Amelia decided to name... Okay. Amelia...
This is real-time fact-checking
yes, right now. I'm reading...
I'm sure we have podcast goes out there, especially like people who like know.
Okay, when did Amelia name her baby? Oh no, that's Scout Derek Shepherd, blah, blah, blah. Scout is a nod toward Link's real name. It is a blah, blah, blah. Fans desperately wanted Amelia to name her baby after her late brother. Where is, I'm going to have to.
Do some deep dives.
Do some deep dives. Yeah. Cause I'm curious.
Because I feel like they wouldn't have said, she wouldn't have said, I've never even said that out loud if it was in private practice.
Yeah, that's true. I'm going to, maybe our private practice podcasters can, Sam, if you know the answer to this, please let us know. But yeah, either way, that's a great little reveal and a good catch on your part about the name.
Thank you so much.
I love when Teddy says that thing though, like when they're talking and she's like, and by the way, I'm having your baby. Like when he's outside of the room.
Just like, oh God.
Yeah. Like when she's so close to saying it, but then isn't able to.
I think it was, like Teddy did such a great job in that moment. Like, well, I can help. I can stay here. Like,
yes. Well, and her and Amelia end up getting close because when Amelia gives birth or when Teddy gives birth, Amelia is the one that like drives her. They're together for some reason.
Oh.
Yeah, they become like friends somehow in this love triangle.
They do because when then they have Christmas dating, together.
And when she dates Link, I think it once,
yeah,
it's her and Owen end. So yeah, either way, it's just a beginning of a triangle that wasn't as interesting as the Teddy Christina Owen triangle. I like that one better.
I miss Christina. Meredith talks about needing to get over to Switzerland in one of these episodes.
Yes. Why does she say that? Now I'm trying to, when she's talking about travel on the date.
Yeah.
Which, should we just switch gears really quick? Okay, I remember being excited for this episode because Josh Radnor, who plays the guy named John, they had made a big deal about him being a guest, mm-hmm. and I thought it was going to be for longer, and I remember being very, like, oh, that was fast.
Yeah.
But just the weirdest, like, degree of separation. Josh Radnor has been on my friend Katie Dalebout's podcast twice. Mm-hmm. It's called Let It Out. It's a really great podcast. And he has given some really insightful interviews. He is very like, not spiritual, but like, well, maybe he's very deep, has mm-hmm. some deep thoughts that are really honestly beautiful. And like, so Katie is friends with him and therefore I feel like I am one degree of separation.
Oh, yeah. You're very, very much
but
friends with
him. But what's funny is Katie never watched How I Met Your Mother.
I never did
which
either.
Which is probably why they had such a good interview because she like never wasn't talking about that. She was talking about, which Josh Radnor has written two of my favorite movies. Thank you or Happy Thank You More Please mm-hmm. and Liberal Arts, two mm-hmm. of my top 10 movies. He's in both of them also. So highly recommend you watch those. Have you seen either of those?
Nope.
Can we have a movie night sometime? Yeah. They're so good. One's like about being in your 20s and one's about being in your 30s essentially.
Yeah. You've mentioned them before. I just never got around to it.
They bring me so much joy. But anyways, so I was great. Happy to see him here. I loved How I Met Your Mother. He's very much tried to like separate himself from that show. I feel like as many do when they have been on a long standing, but it was such a good show. I was obsessed with it.
I feel like it's one of those that's like, oh fuck, I never watched it. So now it's like, you know?
Yeah. It was so good. It was a sign. It was a thing of the times. I loved it so much. But anyways, so I was happy to see him. I also thought it was like interesting. Well, first of all, I'm proud of Meredith. She's put on makeup. She's got cool clothes. She's actually going on dates.
Yeah.
Like I didn't remember that aspect that she like literally is taking this seriously.
Yeah. And like lunch dates.
Yes. Which I love that Amelia's like lunch can't turn into all night or something like that. And I love when her and Alex make a bet out of it. And she's like, thanks for making this fun.
Yeah.
Because it's not going to be.
But then she ends up having fun.
She does. But then he says the thing.
He says the thing.
Which is kind of rude the way he... He think, well, his point is that single mothers are rushing it. They don't want to take it slow. They're ready to, which I get. It's like they have kids. They don't have time to fuck around. They want to, like, if you're not going to be a good partner, then I don't have time to figure this out.
Right.
But it like totally hits her in her core. But I thought it was a very gracious way of ending it. It was like, we did have fun.
Yeah. Well, and I think it made sense with like the storyline of like, oh, there's like the thing that people do and say on a date, like that's the deal breaker. And it's right. like using the wrong there, or like they name a couple of different ones and then he
does the thing.
He does the thing.
I love that when they were crafting those texts that she made him use the wrong form of there to soften yeah, the blow. Yeah. I thought that was genius.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, there's not, I feel like much more to say with that, except for it's like, it's nice to see her that she's dating again. And it does kind of open up things with
DeLuca. Yeah, it's like he's seeing her in a new light. Well, first of all, he kissed her at that wedding.
Yeah, which was super embarrassed about. But now, like, what does he say? What does he say? And Helm's like, when he sees her wearing makeup, he's like, you look really...
Oh, she's like... Capable. Because I thought that was perfect too. Helm is funny. Give me more of Helm.
I know.
Even when she like with Levi, she's like, I may have been mistaken. Like, I don't know. I like her and I'm pissed that they've not given her more.
I know.
Capable.
But yeah, like then Meredith ends up like, I think kind of seeing both those guys in a different way too.
Like, yes. When they were both at the elevator and both held the thing open for her, it felt like, is there a scene with Derek and Finn right before she tells them to date her where they both like are kind of like doing something and then she takes the stairs? I feel like there's it's something kind of where they're both like, in the elevator and then she says, I'll take the stairs. There's no, something.
It's at the end of season two and it's, when Izzy in the Danica Duquette thing and Finn's like Meredith and Derek's like Meredith and they're like, she's looking at the two of them back and forth.
It felt like
that's the scene you're thinking of. Okay. I think.
I don't know. I gotta do a lot of watching. Gotta go rewatch season two again. Yeah. But it feels similar to that because like she's sort of, isn't she sort of open to dating both of them? I can't remember. I don't want to keep making assumptions, but it seems like that. Even though Link's not her type.
Yeah, I think she does kind of date both of them.
God bless him, finally. I get that he cut his hair to prove the point to that cancer kid. That was very cute. I couldn't look at him with that stupid haircut in between before, like with the baggy bangs. It was too much. Like I couldn't even see who he was beneath that haircut anymore.
Who are you?
It was too much for me. I think this is why he has short hair then. And like,
yeah, that would make sense.
He didn't keep his long hair very long.
No. And Mare has a little marigold behind her ear.
Yeah.
We'll talk about the holograms.
Oh, I'm excited.
I am.
But yeah, so I don't know. And I know she ends up with DeLuca for a while. It all just feels like a weird fever dream to me that all of this happened. Because like DeLuca last season was so like, I don't know, like not
well,
even
and then- a... Okay, and spoiler alert. Remember we said this. Then he dies.
Right.
Like, and also I feel like then we just never think about or talk about him again. Like it feels like he didn't exist.
I think that's why DeLuca is a fever dream to me.
Like the fact that like Meredith lost her husband and then was on a beach with him and then was on a beach with DeLuca.
Who ran away to his mom.
And was like not... stressed out about
it. You know why
it?
It's a fever dream? Because we didn't see DeLuca die because it was on a crossover.
That's true.
Because it like didn't, like George doesn't feel like a fever dream. Derek doesn't feel like a fever dream because we literally like watched the whole thing. We missed how he even got hurt.
You're right.
And COVID happened.
And yeah.
But honestly, it's because we didn't see it on screen.
I think you're right.
Maybe in this next rewatch, when we get to that point, we should watch that episode and see if it changes it. Because I still feel very disconnected to his death.
Well, yeah, and I just feel like it's not talked about ever again. And I know that much time hasn't really gone by, but like, I guess they did have a funeral. I don't remember.
There was a funeral.
Outside. It was like a COVID funeral.
Yeah. Oh, God. It's one thing to have like a COVID birthday party. If you're fucking funeral, that's so sad.
So sad. People had to.
No, I know. What do you mean? No one died in 2020.
So, God. Oh God.
Anyways.
Do you ever think like
that 2020 was a fever dream in 2021?
I'm like, we're still not okay. Like, you know, like we're like doing it, but like, we're not okay.
No.
Like we all went through a collective fucking trauma and we're not okay.
I think it's confusing because like everyone's level of that experience was so different.
Yeah.
Like I think if you had kids, if you lost your job, if you
if you lost a family member, a friend to COVID.
Exactly. Like I think what's crazy about it is how different your experience can be.
Yeah.
Like I feel very lucky for that I don't have kids because that I literally, and that I like had a job that I could either do from home or like, I guess I didn't do it for like 4 months, but I don't know. Like, I felt lucky because that time for me was not what it was for other people.
For a lot of other people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like no one in my family, we all got COVID, but no one died.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's just like, it's a weird time because it wasn't the same for everyone.
No, no.
Which I guess nothing ever is. But it was wild. It is wild.
Still going on.
I know. So it'll be weird watching that season.
It will be really weird. I wonder if we'll feel different about it because we'll be.
I'll probably get like some sort of not real PTSD, but like some like, oh God, I forgot. Oh God.
Yeah. I wonder, I almost like want to, I remember like listening, I think I've talked about this on the podcast before, but like when it was like the very beginning of the pandemic in the United States, and things were starting to lock down and we had just bought this house and I was listening to the Daily and I like was up in our bedroom painting, like almost, you know, like having a panic attack pretty much. I wonder what it would feel like to go back and listen to that episode.
Oh, like those ones.
Those episodes where like.
Oh, every day I went for a walk and I listened to the update. You know what I mean? It was like now this nursing home is.
Yeah.
It's so weird to think about. That kind of, I told you this the other day, Michael Barbaro's voice like is a little triggering to me because I listened to it so religiously that year.
Yeah, it was like, I have to know what's going on.
And the election. Like there was so much. Yeah, so like there was just a lot that I was listening to. I don't know. Maybe the beach will be a funny comical relief for us.
It will be a relief for us. Yeah.
More holograms.
More. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's for the post-op.
Anyways.
Okay, moving on. What do we have left? Alex as chief?
Yeah, I don't have much to say other than I feel like he's very wishy-washy. Like he's mad, tells them not to do something, and then he's like, I was turned down by it.
I have a couple things to briefly say. Richard giving him a speech and then talking about tetherball and him being like, what? And he says, oh, it's all tetherball, Karev. Kick its ass. I was like, that is my new motto for life. It's all tetherball. Kick its ass. And then...
Is it the bats?
The bats. I laugh so hard when he like does kick its ass. And Richard is like, that's not what I meant. Like you took my mom's saying or whatever. And he said, well, you don't want to know what my mom said? Bats. There are bats everywhere, Alex. And they know everyone's phone numbers. So how about you let me borrow your mother for this moment? And I loved that so much. The way he acted it out.
The way he like embodied his hurt. Just like, bats. There's everywhere, Alex. That was a top humor moment so far of the season for me. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
And I love that he's just like, so let me use your mom's saying for a moment, you know? Yeah.
Also seeing him and Chief or Richard like kind of go back at each other when he's like, I don't want it. Take the job. Yeah. You wanted it so bad. He's like, I'm not taking it back. Like
it's tetherball, correct.
This man taught him. And then now he's like trying to do the job for him and being upset with how he's doing it. Also, I thought what Alex did for Julius was brilliant.
It was so smart.
Yeah, I loved it. And then I thought too, when he's like, my mom's going to go crazy, crazy happy.
Yeah.
Like, I just thought it made me also very sad. Like this was a good example to me of like them commenting on how bad our healthcare system is without it being so blatant.
Yes, exactly.
Like there wasn't a weird lesson in it. It was just like this kid, his mom's been saving up and it's for this pre-existing condition doesn't allow insurance to cover it. This felt like a good way of showing that without like
spelling it out for you. And like one of the doctors being like, our insurances and this and that and pre-existing conditions. Exactly. It's like, we're smart enough that we can gather all of that from like the storyline.
Mm-hmm.
Kadri being like, I'm going to have to report you. And him being like, so that I'm the chief. You just reported it.
I sort of like Alex's chief chapter. It's kind of just fun.
Yeah.
Because I know it's not long. It's
a little. Well, and so he does this like wacky thing and then he turns around and he's like, we're not putting that liver in anyone. He's just like.
Yeah, which I get. That is such a fear. Like, that seems like a crazy thing to do, but obviously it works. Also, Bailey goes into what I feel like is like nerd Bailey when she's like, we're bringing it back from the dead. Like, like just her obsession. Also, what a cool thing.
Yeah. Was that in the second episode or the third?
Was it in the Halloween
episode. Halloween one. Yeah, that's what I thought. Very like Halloween-y zombie.
Yep. And then he ends up being fine with it.
Yeah.
What are they talking about? Oh, this is what the... Sorry, I'm bouncing back to Julius or whatever. But he also, we learned that thing about Alex that he says that he stole a car when he was young because his sister was really sick. He took her to the hospital and they're like, why don't you call an ambulance? He's like, do you know how much an ambulance ride costs? So anyway, it's just like a little callback to that.
Yeah. And again, like not in your face, like the system, like I feel like, yeah, whatever. We've talked about it a million times. It was just more like something that happened in Alex's life.
Yes.
Instead of like a statement about the world.
Also, ambulances are so expensive.
Oh, fuck yeah. Yeah, they're so expensive.
And they don't pay their people who are working on them that
anything.
Money. Yeah. I don't know where it's going.
Yeah. To insurance companies, of course.
That's true.
Okay. I had a thing here too.
Well, I wonder briefly. If we should talk about the why Maggie broke hip, but like that patient, we don't have to talk much, but like Natalie, the patient.
Oh yeah.
I was, that dad and that kid.
Yeah. I think that's a good transition too, because I want to briefly say like that whole episode had a lot of mom stuff in it.
Yes.
I mean, and the title was Mama Knows Best. So that was the Alex thing and the Richard thing. Like, these are my mom's sayings.
Oh yeah.
Owen's mom's there giving advice.
Yeah. Which I was like, I blinked and I was like, what's she doing here?
Okay, I want to briefly say...
Is it because the firefighters were there? And she's dating that one?
No, she talks to Amelia.
No, I know, but why'd she get there? Because Amelia called her?
Yes, because Amelia called her. And then I love how Owen is like, Mom, what do you need? And she said, nothing. I'm not here to see you. I have my own life, Owen. Good Lord. Just so funny.
I have my own life, Owen. Good Lord.
Good Lord. Like...
Also, so she's dating that young firefighter.
Yeah, but like perfect response because Owen's like so panicked and she's pretty much like, fuck you. Without saying fuck you. So I love that.
Is she alive still?
In the season?
Yeah.
I think so.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, because like Teddy talks about like your mom. And is she might be in an episode with the wedding.
Okay, yeah. And then I also love, she's funny too, when Amelia's like, okay, so I need to build a boat again. She's like, we're not building a fucking boat, you idiot. Like,
it's a metaphor.
Yeah.
I did love that metaphor though, about raising a child. And it made me feel like better about maybe having a child some days. Like, you're really just trying to like push them out into the world and create like the safest possible way for them to do that and then come back to you.
Right.
And I was like, that's such a beautiful it's called launching. You're supposed to launch your child. That's
And it's what a heartbreaking.
Yeah. But like, if you know they have a good vessel to do it.
And like, to come back. But like, but it's heartbreaking. Also, I can think as a parent, like Amelia's being so like clinging her to her, even though it's not her kid.
Yeah.
And like, it's like, no, you have to like let them go.
But Maggie's patient. This boy.
Okay. I don't know much to say about him. Here's what I have to say is like, there was no closure on this storyline. DeLuca, which at first I was like, oh, DeLuca, that's sweet. And like, you know, he tells Karina, you're a good sister. Like, Karina was trying to protect him. I feel like he's fully understanding that. But he basically like scares the shit out of this kid. And then that kid runs into the city. Grey's fans, the end of the like Grey's Anatomy fandom website that like summarizes this whole episode. The last sentence is, outside the hospital, Max runs off into the city.
I feel like there has to be like next episode, it's like back or something somehow. Because like literally to leave us on that.
Okay, I'm clicking on Max Forrester. Let's see. Oh no, he was called. Okay, oh, he's in station 19.
Oh, fuck.
That's why.
That's
because
why.
There was a crossover also.
Yeah.
So anyways, so wow. Do you guys want to know what happens to him?
Yeah.
Okay. The police were called to track Max down, and Ryan Tanner, must be station 18, found him walking alongside the street by himself. He called out to Max, but Max started running and fell into a manhole into the sewer where he was swept away. Station 19 was called to coordinate a rescue effort. Evan asked to come along and get help. They almost had him at one drain pipe, but because of an oxygen tank malfunction, Maya wasn't able to get down to the sewer in time. Andy jumped down impulsively, but she wasn't able to get a proper hold on Max, and he was swept away again. The last place where they had a chance to catch up to him turned out to have a very small opening, too small for an adult, so they were forced to lower a loop down to Max so he could be pulled up on his own.
They were forced to lower another child down.
I thought that too. However, Max refused to trust his father, who had told him to let go of where he was holding and grabbed the loop. Evan then confessed to Max that his mother was dying and apologized for not telling him before. Max then grabbed the loop and was lifted to safety. Evan then took Max to his mother's hospital room where he lay with his mom to say goodbye. The adventures of Max in the city.
We really needed that second episode.
Okay, because I was like, what the fuck? He just runs away?
That makes way more sense now.
But also he fell into a manhole?
This is why I can't watch Station 19.
That's too scary.
Beaches are outrageous. Manholes.
Oh, I did love, I call him Hercules Mulligan. I don't know what his real name is. It's the actor Dean. Is his name Dean? He was with Andy Herrera and he saw Maggie and he says, oh God, sorry, everyone. I'm trying to find it's your notes. That's why. He says, I said, Hercules Mulligan is going to ask Maggie out on a date. And then he says, he's like, did you see that woman? Her assuredness. Like, that's the way that he saw out of Maggie, which I felt like was very accurate to her. Like, she's just so full, like sure of herself.
And I think she's very, I don't think she's flattered. I think she's kind of like confused.
Yeah.
And not put off, but just like, wait. What? Yeah. Why are you asking me out on a date?
Yeah, so.
Can we transition to Maggie, like, and the Jackson thing?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like it got resolved so quickly. Like, I would be like, you fucking left, and you fucking sent me photos of trees.
It was embarrassing.
It was embarrassing. I was angry. I was hurt. And he's just like, here's some flowers and here's some spaghetti.
Also though, I had like a visceral reaction when he came back on the screen. I felt really happy to see him.
Oh, I felt so
like,
happy.
I was like, oh, he's back. As if he's a real person.
I was happy to see him too, but also like, I don't know, the way he was like zhuzhing her up and like, she was just like, it's all fine.
Well, I felt like by the episode he was zhuzhing her up, was they had already resolved, because the thing got resolved when I think he like talked about like, if he hadn't had that s'more, he wouldn't have met this boy and saved his life who then had malignant cancer. And like, I think Maggie sees that and kind of like is like, okay, I guess it, I don't know.
I thought it all got resolved when he finally said, I'm not going to leave you again. Like I decided.
Well, that also, but that wasn't the episode when he was bringing her flowers. That was the Day of the Dead episode when he was thinking about her mom. Because he knew that she was, so he kept bringing her food and flowers.
Gotcha.
They'd already resolved it.
But, okay. I think you're right.
Because I was going to say on the flip side, I felt like he was very there for her that day. Even though like, I liked that, like, and respected her boundaries when she was like, I don't actually need you here with me, but I will like eat your food. And then she put the photo of her mom by the flowers. I like also that they keep bringing up her mom. It's not like, again, Andrew DeLuca dies. No one puts flowers
about him ever again.
But like, her mom died a season ago, maybe two. And like, we're still hearing about it.
Because that's what grief is. Like people get brought up again.
Right. Unless you're Andrew DeLuca.
Yeah. Then you are.
Maybe Karina brings it up.
On Station 19. If you watch it, let us know. Because we're not going to do it. Okay. Is there anything else?
Well, I wanted to talk about, we don't really
have. Oh, yeah. The Nico storyline?
Yeah. I, first of all, again, love that Helm told him it was a date. Then he thought it was a date. And then what the fuck was that guitar?
Okay. We have to talk about
this. I texted you. I said, this is unhinged.
It's like, I wanted to throw my computer across the room. What was happening? Why did that need to be in there? Well, why was
Richard has never sang? Well, I guess he sang My Funny Valentine to Adele.
Okay, but that's appropriate. What the fuck were those? And why was everyone like, come on down to Joe's and we're going to gather around this table and like Lincoln.
Ever since Link, because Link plays guitar later and I'm also not a fan of it.
No, I am not a fan. These people do not need to be playing guitars and singing
it's
on the show.
It's kind of like, I don't need Sarah Ramirez to sing on Grey's, even though like they can.
Yeah.
I don't, I know that this actor can play guitar. I don't need to see it.
Yes. I feel like as I watch it, I am embarrassed for them. You know that feeling of like, oh, okay. I'm embarrassed right now.
Cause like hot take. And I feel like listeners very much disagreed with me. Like I didn't even love the Kai guitar episode. I felt when they're at a concert, playing at a concert, I felt embarrassed.
I
by
felt
that
extremely
also.
Embarrassed for Kai.
So this is like a through line for me. Like this is not Nashville, which okay. He plays guitar and sings on Nashville and he's fucking dope. Love it there.
But it's for, that's the these right. are doctors.
It's absurd.
Doctors.
Yeah, I don't love it.
Yeah.
In fact, I hate it.
Yeah, no, I absolutely hated it. It was just like extremely unnecessary. Like even if, okay, hear me out. We have, it lasted too long too. Like if we would have panned the bar.
It was a whole song.
We would have panned the bar and we see like Link going like, doo-doo-doo, like we'd be like, oh, they're like, okay. And then ching-ding, and then Levi walks in. You know, we can get the feel that, oh, there's like some music going on
there's
over here.
There's a jam.
There's a jam band. But to have us sit and watch Richard sing two verses and a chorus is like, it's outrageous. It was, and I won't stand for it.
It was too much. Also, like, we don't know much about Nico yet, but it feels like it wouldn't be his vibe to hang out with these like straight men playing guitar. Like this, it really doesn't, like, I get that they're ortho gods.
It's just the four of them.
Yeah, it's like, so, and DeLuca's there too.
Well, yeah.
They like call Nico him Richie. Is Richie Richard's alter ego when he's playing guitar or when he's singing?
It's too much.
I bet it is.
Oh, it's awful. It's so awful.
Yeah. What else is, it's not awful, but I will say I felt so bad for Levi.
I felt so bad for
Levi because
too.
Like you could tell it was such a vulnerable thing for him. I get Nico's like, his point of view of like, oh, I can't be that person for you. Like, I already did this on myself. Like, you need to find someone else to help walk you through this. But I felt Levi looked so devastated and like scared and just vulnerable. I did love that he was like, this is supposed to be a teaching hospital.
Yeah.
That was like funny, but also it just makes me sad.
I also liked how, I don't know, because Levi's kind of awkward and this is like something new. And like, I did like how he like use the metaphor of like, I've never like
done ortho before.
I'm right. usually just a general, you right. know, like, and Nico doesn't quite get it. And then it's like, oh
yeah.
Okay. And yeah, it just, I felt really
it was very
bad
vulnerable.
For him.
He also gives me Ben Platt vibes.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Levi, do you get that
yes.
too?
Uh-huh.
Like very, it gives me Dear Evan Hansen Ben Platt vibes, like awkward, nervous yeah. teenager. That's what it is. It's the Dear Evan Hansen connection.
Yes.
I couldn't figure out, because like Ben Platt is like very confident and whatever.
Yeah, it's the Dear
That's
Evan
what
Hansen.
It is. Okay. I'm understanding. Like if he burst out into waving through a window
we would absolutely
would
understand
it. Yeah.
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 In the bar, in Joe's bar.
He should have. Waving through a window. Oh. It kind of makes sense. So anyways.
Okay, do we have any? I think that
covers.
Oh, the one thing we forgot to say is we finally get Joe running into Link.
Yeah, which I like again that's like solved. Alex isn't,
yeah.
he's annoyed, but then he's not like, they are in a confident place.
Yeah, and I was like, oh, is Alex like jealous of this friendship?
But it's
the fact, it's the Paul thing.
Yeah, which I thought was a much better thing than just him being jealous.
Yeah, and then once, I mean, Link explains to Alex pretty much what, intimate partner violence is. And like, he
was pushed away.
Yeah. It was like, okay, you're fine.
I had something. Oh, I did love the moment when Joe is like, we have like newlywed things to do. And if you don't know what those are, I want an annulment right now.
yeah.
Like, I thought that humor was good. They're just
when they're making out the nurse or whatever, it's like, we can see you.
Or when they're making out and she asks for money from the hospital and he's like, he's like, this is wrong. Like,
where your hand was. Yeah.
yeah. I thought that was funny. But I can't, sometime I need to dissect this. Why? Like I can enjoy parts of this and like, I like them together, whatever, but I can like not really like, someone made a comment in our Facebook group about like a Joe Wilson spinoff. And I'd be like, I don't want to watch. Like, I don't like her character enough.
I feel the same way.
What does that, how can I love the storylines that get brought up because of her, but yet feel not a connection to her? What is that about?
I don't know. Cause I feel some, and she's been around for a long time. And I'm just not, she's not fine.
Yeah. I was more connected to Riggs and he was there a season.
Yeah, I agree.
Anyways, the last thing to say before post-op is that Bailey is obviously going through something. She's very stressed. I like how she, you know, it's kind of relating to that patient where like, we've done all the tests and I'm still not feeling well. And she's like, I've taken out all of the stressors and I'm still stressed. And then she talks about like how Ben, which I thought it was interesting. Joe was like, you and Ben are the goal. I don't think Bailey's nervous about Ben cheating on her. I think Bailey is nervous about him dying.
Oh yeah. I thought that was,
I was like, Joe,
I think that's kind of why Bailey was like, good night, Dr. Wilson. You know,
that's
like,
true. And then she,
I also like that she said good work today to her.
And she does some heart tests on herself and she texts Ben and says they need to talk.
Yeah.
And she's saying, what she's going to say is you need to go on the spinoff and not be seen on the show again.
And we're going to take a break because remember a break's coming
up.
We were reading about what was going to, right?
They do go on a break.
Yeah. So I think that's coming.
But it's like, she's still going to care about them. Separating them won't, I don't know. I guess she'll figure that out.
Maybe that's how they end up getting back together.
Oh, well, one last thing. Richard is sitting at the cemetery. I thought he was talking to Adele.
I know.
And then it was Ollie. Which like is really cute also, but I'm like, wait, you have a wife that's died. Do you miss her?
Well, no, because he's going through sobriety things.
No, I know. But I had a moment of like, oh, okay, yeah. But like,
also it just happened too. So I think like we as viewers would feel more connected to him talking to Ollie than to Adele.
Again.
On that like episode
no one
about like
Adele anymore.
About the dead, you know?
Yeah, no, I agree. That was very cute.
And sad. Also, I will just briefly say that patient who has malls, I felt so bad for them. I when doctors can't fucking figure out what's going on with you and you're like, I am like, I'm not crazy. Like that is how I felt when I was finally diagnosed with endometriosis. It was like this huge relief of like, this pain was legitimate and real for many years and I am not fucking crazy.
Right.
Yeah. And like,
the actress was great too. The way I felt like it felt really real.
And when start eating the sandwich and crying and like, I'm going to eat my sandwich and then you're going to do this again. And it was, anyway.
And I thought brilliant too, that like they couldn't have found it because she's fasting before doing tests.
Yes.
That's crazy cool.
Yeah.
And I found it and Meredith Grey did not.
Yes.
Yeah. Bailey. So, all right, let's do notes and trivia.
Okay.
This episode's title originated from the song Mama Knows Best, originally sung by Jessie J.
It scored 6.72 million viewers.
This episode is the first part of a crossover with Station 19 episode Under the Surface.
While some effort has been taken to hide Justin Chambers' tattoos, they are vaguely visible on his arm when Alex grabs his clothes and leaves the loft.
Ooh, I'd like to see them. Goof. Meredith tells John she traveled to Europe after med school, but it was previously established that she went to Europe before med school and came home and went to med school when her mother got sick.
The episode's title originated from the song Everyday Angel, originally sung by Radney Foster.
It scored 6.54 million viewers.
Both Jackson and Teddy reappear after an absence of 2 and 3 episodes, respectively.
A Shondaland feature on actors directing refers to the episode as titled I'll Take Care of You, meaning it might have undergone a title change at some point, or it's just an error on the Shondaland website.
Well, there we go. This episode's title originated from the song Flowers Grow Out of My Grave, originally sung by Dead Man's Bones.
This episode scored 6.71 million viewers.
George O'Malley, Lexi Gray, Derek Shepherd, and Mark Sloan all appear through modified archive footage. The footage of Mark stems from a deleted scene that never aired on the show. The footage of Ellis Gray and Doc was newly shot for this episode.
Interesting.
Diane Pierce appears in a picture.
All 4 actors who appeared through modified archive footage later make an actual guest appearance. Interesting, too. Not Doc, though.
Initially, there was also a version when Meredith saw Denny Duquette Jr. Oh, yeah.
Dylan Young.
And Dylan Young. But Krista Vernoff then decided against adding them since they weren't really Meredith's loved ones. They would be visiting their own families and loved ones, not Meredith.
On the promotional stills, Meredith's phone case is different than in the aired episode. In the episode, it's plain red. While in the photos, it appears to have a Wonka sticker stuck on it. It might have been edited in post-production.
Interesting. Okay, so Catherine Fox Award.
I gave it to Mayor. I said she is dating. She's getting asked out. She is thriving.
I feel great about that. Or I would maybe give it to Karev just because of
the bleb. And then I rated it a 6.5 out of 10. This conversation made me feel like maybe I actually liked it more than that. So I'm going to move it to a 7.
Yeah, I guess I'd give it 7 out of 10. Like, yeah. It was fine.
Yeah. Just a reminder, we are going to talk about those modified archive footage of those dead people in post-op and our thoughts on it. So I feel like that was a big thing when that happened. If you want to hear our thoughts on it, you got to be a patron.
Yeah. Otherwise, thanks for listening. We'll see you next week. Time of death, 1958.
Beep. Beep.